This is Master Griot Radio, channel 13 on your NBBTA Internet Radio dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's time for purpose-driven words, shaping thoughts, building minds, true wealth, communities, and legacies.
If my words had wings, they'd fly to you each day.
Every time I tell somebody I do poetry for a living, they look at me weird. Like they don't believe that it's possible. I tell them that it is. I tell them I don't make my living off giving people reasons to buy a CD. That's crazy. I make my living off giving people reasons to live outside the box, outside the cell block, outside the cubicle. I tell them that a life lived without boundaries is beautiful. I tell them that the body can do whatever the mind chooses to. And I ain't got no illusions of grandeur. I know where my story ends, but yours begins whenever you get ready to move. Want to be a lawyer? Take your ass back to school. You only got a short time on this earth, so while you here, you better find your niche and work on it like your life depends upon it, because tomorrow isn't promised. Failure's not an option. Want to be a dancer? Get it popping. Work your angles like an architect with all your tears, blood, and sweat, then disregard the people that'll tell you you're crazy because they too scared or lazy and too complacent to make the necessary changes. This life is about risk. Jumping in with both feet because the answer could be just beneath the surface, and the timing ain't never going to be perfect, but only 2% of the people on this planet actually do what they want. 60% of the people on this planet work for them. The other 38% are just too far gone. So you better get in where you fit in while you still can. Otherwise, die wondering what could have been. And when you think about it like that, doing poetry for a living makes perfect sense. It puts me in that 2%. I only answer to God. Program managers can't censor my shit. I'm a prophet that prophesies and profits. No gimmicks. I give it to you the same way God gave it to me. The pen is a pistol. The words are a nightstick. I just beat you over the head till you submit. No blue pill, just red. Here's some water. Swallow this. And this ain't about performing. This is two doses of reality. Call me in the morning. This is word is born. This is you better get your piece of the pie before it's gone. This is one part heart, four parts persistence. Cover the pot and let it simmer. Guess who's coming to dinner? Opportunity's knocking. Better pop the lock and let them enter. This is 2005. You can start a business with an internet connection and a laser printer. No excuses. Get on your mission and consider all this the next time you fix your face to ask me what I do for a living.
Peace, peace. Hello, everyone. This is Sweet Franchise, and I am your co-host for the evening. You have Jacqueline Taylor Adams, our producer and also host for today's Beyond the Words, a vision for the spoken word industry. And we are so excited about the guests that we have on today. Are they here yet, Jacqueline? Say hi to the people before we get started, Jacqueline.
Hello, people. Hi. this is Jacqueline Taylor Adams. I'm the co-host of Beyond the Word, and we are talking about vision for the spoken word industry. So we are here to stretch our imagination and to showcase those who are going beyond the open mic, who are, you know, doing different things with spoken word and allowing us to, you know, imagine and show us, you know, what's possible with the word. And yes, our guest is on the line.
Awesome. Well, first and foremost, everybody, as you heard that lovely voice right before me, that is the visionary and the program producer for our show. We'll be meeting here every second Monday, so make sure you tell a friend and keep it on your calendar and mark your calendars. Once again, my name is Sweet Franchise, SuiteFranchon. And you can find me on any social media, and I would love to hear from you and let me know what you think of our show. We are looking for people to share. If you're doing something different, if you are getting spoken word into venues, non-traditional venues for spoken word, if you have found a new and creative way to share spoken word and poetry, we would love to hear from you. Once again, welcome everybody that's listening today. But more importantly, I am so grateful that we have our special guest on the line. I have an echo. We have our special guest on the line today. We have Miss, I don't want to mess it up,
Lois Moses.
Lois, I was confused. I'm sorry, Lois Moses. How are you?
Okay, let me open her up. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Lois.
Yolanda.
Okay.
Hi, I'm
Hi,
wonderful.
Lois.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. Well, we're glad to have you. We are so excited. I got to attend an event a few weeks ago by the First World Theater Ensemble and heard about this great work that you're doing. And I would like to introduce our public to you, to let them to introduce to you, most importantly, to talk about this phenomenal production that you're producing. And it's going to be your turn. Just tell us all about it. Tell us who you are. I want to say this, though. I got a chance to meet you briefly. But everyone there had nothing but good things to say about your production, about they say that he had more than a dream. They have nothing but rave reviews for this. And I was excited to find out that it's not, and pardon me for lack of better words, a typical theatrical production, but it includes spoken word, song, dance, music, and various multimedia to deliver a powerful story about Dr. Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's, go ahead.
No, I said, well, that's awesome. Well, everybody, let me formally introduce to you Lois Moses, who is she's an author, poet, a lawyer, a clinician, and a filmmaker, and she is the I wasn't sure. I got confused who directed. I believe I have you as the producer, and you had Zahira McGill is directing it, correct?
Yeah, Zahira McGill is director.
Zahira
yes.
McGill, great. So we have her on the line. She's going to share with us today about this phenomenal production that we are so excited to hear about. And it really sounds like it's going to be an interesting look. It's in Philadelphia from September 30th through October the 9th by First World Theater Ensemble. And it's one of the three productions in the lineup, the season's lineup. So welcome, welcome, Lois, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. So I guess you want me to tell you a little bit about the thief?
Yes, just talk to me. Act like it's just me and you on the line. Just talk to me. Tell me all about it. Tell me, you know, any. I guess I have questions just because I write, too. I want to know what inspired you, what makes this production different, because everybody tends to think that they know everything there is to know about Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King. So tell us what makes this different, and tell us what excites you about it.
Okay, well, I was actually commissioned to do at Juniata College in 2015, they wanted me to come up and do some spoken word for Martin Luther King's celebration. For me, because I actually had the privilege and the honor of going to his funeral. Now, I was very young, so I really didn't know who he was at that point, but my mother had the wherewithal to put us on a plane and go down and spend the week at the funeral,
wow.
marching,
wow.
planting trees, going to the funeral. I can honestly say now, it was a seed planting experience for me that has been gestating in my life, all of my life. And part of what I decided for this piece, and it came about because I didn't want to do the regular, you know, go in and talk about Martin Luther King and particularly talk about the dream speech. Because in my research, one of the things I do understand about Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King, let's call him by the title that he earned, was that he evolved. And particularly when we look at the period from April 4th, 1967, to a year to his date, April 4th, 1968, he not only decided at that moment that he would speak out against the war in Vietnam, against racism, and against poverty. And he began the Poor People's Campaign. And I contend that that was really what sealed his fate. And Tavis Smiley writes an incredible book called Death of a King that really looks at the same period. And so I was in a conversation with that book, also with myself, because I have a deep love and resonance for Dr. King and his speech. I didn't always necessarily, the tactics there might have been dissension amongst the tactics with him and the movement later, the Young People's Movement with Stokely Carmichael and so on, but the whole idea was they were literally speaking up for the people in a way that had never been talked about, beyond civil rights is what I call it, really beyond civil rights. So that's why this piece is called Say That He Had More Than a Dream, because we live in a society that has frozen him and deified him in this conversation that's about a dream. And we must remember that he said himself, I woke up from a dream and found myself in a nightmare. So this piece honors that evolution. And during that time period, we also have to understand that during that time period, he was not only lambasted by the press, but also by his own community. More than 55% of the community denounced him and turned against him. So in that last year of his life, not only was he hunted, but he was also abandoned and isolated by his own community to a large extent. And it caused great pain for him. But we must understand that when you live in your conscience and you're willing to put your life on the line, that he had made a decision that he was going to speak out against things, particularly the war, when he saw living in a country that was perpetrating this level of violence, and how he didn't see that he could go out and tell young people to do the same thing when they were dealing with that at home, and then send them over to Vietnam and tell them to, you know, to shoot down someone, another brown person. And so he was very clear, very honest, and it cost him dearly. And for me, I say thank you, because most people never get to that place in their life where they are willing to give and sacrifice to that extent for something, for a higher purpose, let alone for their community and for the larger world. So this is really a tribute to that period of his life, which I think that goes untold and unspoken because of the stance that he took. You know, and it's and in many ways, part of what the piece shows too is that if you listen to his speech, and everyone needs to listen to that April 4th, 1967 Riverside speech in New York City, because if you listen to the speech, he could be giving that speech today and there would be, and you wouldn't know that it was in 1967. You would think of it as 2016, which is a frightening thing and a painful thing, because all that he did, and in many ways we are standing where we stood back then as a country and as a people.
That's a scary thing. I hear you, and I'm so glad that actually this is such a timely production as well, because I talk about my mom often about this, because when she was pregnant with me, Dr. Martin Luther King came to Wilmington and he touched my belly, her belly, with me inside, and he just said something, I can't recall exactly, but she said he pretty much blessed me. And when I was growing up, because I had such a fiery spirit and I was a little odd in my family, she was like, girl, you was born in the wrong era. You should have been born in, you know, but I was born in 68. So I was born when he, you know, that year. And she used to be like, you know, but now it's interesting, because she says, you're right, this is your time. Because everything that was happening then, it seems to be repeating itself. And she said, so this, you were born in the right, I used to say even when I was young, I said, no, I'm born in the right time and space. You know what I mean? And I didn't even know what that meant when I said it then. I woke up, I was born in the right time and space. And so part of my evolution has been that, you know, I was more of a absolutely Malcolm X, you know, fan younger. And then the more I read about Martin Luther King and saw the profound respect that Malcolm X had for Martin Luther King, it made me more interested in his story. And like you said, when I saw, I don't know all about his evolution, that's why I'm very interested in your production, but I was like, wow, it's so much we can, we haven't been able to implement, and we can use and we can learn from his work still today, and even more so, especially young black men.
Absolutely.
So I, I'm grateful that this is out now. So for those of you who are just joining us, please stay tuned and please continue to listen. We are talking about a phenomenal world premiere of Say That He Had More Than a Dream. It's a production, a First World Theater Ensemble production. We have Lois Moses on the line, and she is sharing her vision, her insight about and research about the journey and evolution of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we are just so excited to have her on the line. So if you have any questions or like to speak to her directly, you know, just let us know, and Jacqueline, our producer and founder, is on the line, and she will absolutely plug you in. But we're going to continue to talk and share. Jacqueline will let us know when we have to go to a commercial break. but we're going to talk and share. Now, the space that you're actually having in is 3500 Lancaster in Philadelphia. What building is that?
It's Community
is
Education
Center. Is that the meeting house? Oh, it
yeah,
is. It is the Community Education Center. That's where we were. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Upstairs in the stage area, yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. General admission, I believe, is $25 as a discount for seniors. That's $18 students, $15, and, of course, group rates are available. Can you tell us how we would get tickets?
Yeah, you can get tickets, and Jackie would know better. But if you go to firstworldtheater.biz, there is, you can get tickets online, and you just have to, it will come, there's a calendar, and you have to hover over the actual time, the time that you're interested
okay.
on the day, and then that will take you to pull up, and you can buy tickets online, or you can also call, I believe, Jackie, can you?
And let me see if I have an express release.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I have it. 1-866-811-4111. That's an easy number, everybody. 1-866-811-4111 if you need to call. Otherwise, as you mentioned, you can go to firstworldtheater.org as well. Let me say this, and for those of you, I'm trying to encourage a lot of my people that's outside of Philadelphia to be sure that you check this out as well. Let me say this, it's easy to get to. It's easy to get to via public transportation. It's easy to get to right off the highway if you're driving. It's plenty of off-street parking in the area. It's a nice area. Right next door to CEC, I discovered a little noodle place. If you know, can grab something to eat and then go make it a nice evening and make sure you support. But I came up there the next day. I went to the first event. The event was on a Sunday. First World Theaters event was on Sunday. Then I had a meeting at the same exact place on a Monday. And I got there a little early, and then it was a noodle place right next door. And it was like, oh, this is the best $8 I've ever spent. So you can make dinner and theater. Make it a date, and you can go by yourself. You know, you don't have to worry about a date. This is something you absolutely want to treat yourself to. More importantly, treat a young person that you love in your life. You have a niece, a cousin, a nephew, a neighbor, son or daughter, treat someone as she shared earlier, plant a seed. Her mother had the wherewithal to send her for a week to participate in activities around Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral, and it planted a seed in her as a young person. Plant a seed. Plant a seed today. I implore you to do so. And it's well worth it. We have to support community theater. It is important to our communities. It's important to our culture. It's important that we create our own narratives and we tell our stories. And it's important that we show that support. So I'm going to ask everybody, make sure you come out. Please make sure you come out again. The dates are, I believe, September 30th through October 9th. September 30th through October 9th. So we'll share more. I will say specifically show times are 8 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays and 3 p.m. on Sundays. I like Sunday shows myself, so I'm pretty certain I'll be at a Sunday show. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm really trying to figure out who I'm going to bring. I wish I could bring more than a few people, but I'm absolutely going to bring a niece or a nephew or someone because I think that, you know, we always got one person in the family. My aunt was the one in the family who recognized something in me and you know, would call me to New York all the time in Brooklyn and make sure I planted seeds for me, making sure I got to museums and musicals and things. And I happen to be that aunt in my family as well, where you want a good book, you go see Aunt Franchon. You want you got a report due on Black history, see Aunt Franchon. You know what I mean? You need a Black movie, you know, see Aunt Franchon. You know, I make them have movie nights because they haven't seen some of the classics. They got to come over here and watch Roots, you know, all of that. So I'm usually the first one to introduce them to plays, to musicals and theater. So I'm asking you, everybody that's listening, please, please be the person to plant a seed in a young person's life, in one of your family members or community members. Please do that. And this looks like the perfect place for that, the perfect opportunity to do that. So,
Sweet, can I also
Jeff
say?
Like,
oh, hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, go ahead. No, I just wanted to say, you said something that was really important, because one thing you talked about was that you were more of a bent toward Malcolm. Well, so was I, Malcolm, Angela Davis, and so on, because that's where, you know, coming from the younger generation, Stokely Carmichael, Gil Scott, and so on. So, and really part of what this, because remember, when other people are writing our narratives, particularly when, as I say, the victors write the narratives, oftentimes there is, well, put it this way, Dr. King was sort of touted in we learned about him from the place where he was comfortable. And the place where he was comfortable was for civil rights. So part of this play is really my journey into researching and going beyond the narrative, because it just seemed too small. And when you really begin to look at the things that he did in the last year of his life, and the pain and the suffering, because, you know, that has been a legacy for Africa. In my research, what I began to really look at was the language and the dialogue. And, I mean, we all know he was an absolutely brilliant man, but it was the courage. And that's what, in the last piece in the play is called And They Jumped Into the Water Some, because you realize that that's what it takes, it has taken for us to have any kind of movement as African people. It is those people who have jumped in the water, those people who have given their lives, who have made the supreme sacrifice. And so this piece was really about looking at beyond the history lessons, beyond the small dialogue, beyond the celebration. And I'm telling you something else. When I see our people being celebrated I'm always wary when African people in this country are exalted from the perspective of, you know, the American flag and, you know, that put on that pedestal. Because usually there's something we need to investigate beyond that. And so my conversation in this piece is that the pedestal was to keep us from the real conversation in the end that he left us with. So
did you guys hear that? Did you hear that? That was powerful. Please say that again.
Well, the pedestal was to keep us from the real conversation, because that's become sort of the noise, and then we buy in, because that is the victor's story. The victor's story of him is about making him comfortable, and so that we become anesthetized and we don't really understand what he stood for in the end. So as a result, that can't be a part of our narrative, you know, because we don't want to talk about poverty. I mean, this is a man who talked about in his speech in Ebenezer before the Riverside Church, that $500,000 to kill a Vietnamese, that's the kind of money they were putting into militarism, and then it was $50 that was being spent on the poor at home, and most of that was going, $53, and most of that was going to workers that weren't even middle class. Mm-hmm. So if you think about what he was talking about, and he was talking about black and white men going over to Vietnam to fight together when they couldn't sit in schools, the same schools,
right,
here in America. So
yeah,
and or live in the same neighborhoods. So that's what That's why this piece became, I sort of became obsessed with this conversation, and that I, and for me, it really becomes sort of a love story for me and King, and this is my connection with him as the ancestor, because I have learned so much through his dialogue that, you know, that I felt that not only did it need to be said, but I also wanted to acknowledge him because of literally what was done in the newspaper, because we can't just cut out, you know, we can't cut out parts of the truth, because that was part of not only what he went through, but also what he died with in his spirit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He died with feeling like he was ostracized and the kind of abuse. He died with that. So here we are walking around deifying him, but you know, it's sort of the Jesus, you know, it's sort of the Jesus story in many ways. We have to understand that. So
I hear it.
So that's really important to me, that this is a love story for me, King, because who he is, what he has taught me in terms of moral conscience and character and standing up for what you believe in, and the necessity to that, that we as people, each one of us, has a responsibility and accountability to speak out. Now, not everybody's going to jump in the water like that, but we have a responsibility to a certain level of consciousness, truth, and, like you said, legacy in terms of passing it on. And when my nieces come at me with, oh, no, Lord, just, I said, you know what, this is my job. My job is to inform you so that you can, you know what I'm saying, so that you can make your contract and do what's necessary for the next generation.
Yes.
So here's a book, like you said.
Here's a book. You tell them something.
Here's a book and a story. Absolutely.
It's a story, you know? And they don't, I'm like, wow. And we, you know, we lose it. We're losing that. And we got to make sure that, again, you know, this story sounds so powerful. I hear your passion about it. We are so grateful because, like you said, you know, he's an ancestor now, and to be able to speak to you through the dialogue so that you can write and share it with us. It's just, people, I just feel the power of it. I'm really even more, I was already excited when Jacqueline shared it with me, but I like art. So I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Sounds cool to me. But to be honest with you, now that I'm speaking with you and hearing you know, on the line and getting the background of how it came to be, it just makes me even more excited. And I know how powerful it is. And, even more importantly, how we got to get somebody, you know, you got to invite a friend. So everybody, you know, we're going to take a short break for the calls. Thank you so much for listening. You know that if you miss any or part of this interview, you'll be able to hear the playback online as well. But my name is Sweet Friend Sean, and we are enjoying my conversation today. We are enjoying our conversation today right here with Ms. Lois Moses. I keep messing up. I'm sorry. I keep wanting
to. That's okay. Lois Moses. You got it.
Lois. Okay. I keep wanting to say Louise because that was my great aunt's name. So,
it was my great aunt's name, too.
Louise Moses.
Yes, Louise Moses.
Yeah, mine was Louise Lee. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Beautiful. Yes, we have Lois Moses on the line. She's talking about her heart-hitting drama, which unearthed untold stories about the lives of Dr. Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King. And we are just enjoying this passionate conversation about creating our own narrative and about telling our own stories and about learning more beyond this image that has been presented to us about Dr. Martin Luther King. And this is going to be a phenomenal play in that if it delivers any of her passion, we know how awesome and phenomenal it's going to be. And we're excited about it. It's going to run in Philadelphia, PA from September 12th to the 9th, presented by the First World Theater Ensemble. And it's actually called Say That He Had More Than a Dream. I'm going to say it one more time. Say That He Had More Than a Dream. Showtimes are 8 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, 3 p.m. on Sundays, and it's located at the CEC Meeting House Theater, located at 3500 Lancaster Avenue in Philadelphia, PA. Admission is $25. We have a discount for seniors, $18, students, $15, and of course, group rates apply, are available and can be applied. Please, if you have a group of young folk, you belong to a nonprofit, an organization, we ask that you make every attempt to bring a group to this phenomenal production. We should say that the story is presented using spoken words, song, dance, music, and various multimedia just to share this powerful story. And we're going to ask that you think about it right now, and you make sure that you bring someone. We have to plant seeds, especially in our young people. And for some of us, we haven't even seen a play yet. We haven't even seen any live art. And we're well into our 30s, 40s, and 50s. So treat yourself. It's okay to go alone. Don't be scared. Easily accessible from 95 as well as public transportation. We have to support. It's our duty at this point, and the stories need to be told and shared. So we're going to take a brief pause for the pause. Thank you for listening to Beyond the Word. I'm Sweet Franchon. I'm one of your hosts this evening, and my producer and co-host is in the background listening, Ms. Jacqueline Adams, Taylor Adams, who's also our founder here at Massagria Radio. So we are thanking you for calling. Don't forget, you can call in at 646-716-7994. I repeat, call me if you want to talk to our guests, ask us any questions, share if you're a writer, you know, or if you have anything you want to share about writing, poetry, theater, and the arts, please call us because we know that this is important. We know that the work we do is important. We know it's our duty. We know that it's our cause, and we thank the ancestors, and we like to thank the divine for even gifting us and guiding us through this process. So we ask you to call us, talk to us at 646-716-7994. In the meantime, we'll be right back in a minute or so. Jacqueline's going to play a little something, and we'll be back on the line momentarily.
Odeline's Catering, Inc. offers great food and desserts homemade to be delivered to your next event or celebration. You can choose to pick up or deliver. Book your next appointment today with Odeline's Catering, Inc. at 646-657-6640. Let us bring taste to your next celebration.
I can't do this. This is too much. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I need help. I need answers. Something right. I need answers. Right. Who's going to be there? I need that so much. I feel like I've tried everything, but now, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Just breathe. I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I can't live a whole life with half a self, with half of me in tow, saving the potential of me for some rainy day as if there isn't more to be living for. How can God work with half a woman towards her full potential? How can he pour blessings into my cup that overfloweth if my insecurities and sins have created holes that can't store it? I wrestle with principalities against my own flesh and blood, looking towards the mark of the higher calling, but that takes a whole lot of faith, and to follow where he leads takes a whole lot of dedication, and to stand in the face of my fears, or to proclaim the life of Christ, or even to love my neighbor takes a whole lot of preparation. So half of me won't do. Giving only half my day, or half my thoughts, or half of everything I got is not only useless but unwise when God sees me wholly with his own eyes, when God in his grace sees me wholly with his own eyes. So I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I gotta get it right. My purpose is on the line. And how can I have only half the mind to do what's right, or spend less than half of the time attempting to develop myself into disciplined study or focused way of life, when it takes to committing the whole mind, the whole body as a living sacrifice? See, we want full blessings from the Lord, but we only pray half the time. And sometimes we remember to love our neighbor, but we seek God's love all the time. We go into situations and relationships with half of ourselves in tow, still hoping good things will come from them despite. And we forget that to love God with our whole heart takes a constant renewing of the mind, a constant reviewing of our lives. For many of the things we need to grow takes a committed and dedicated whole, not got from simple Bible reading or occasional fasting and praying, but our whole effort with our whole heart gives God the room to bring out the wholeness in us that he created within us long ago. So I chanted like I wanted, like it's part of my whole being. like it's significant, like it's attainable, as if my spirit desired it. I needed to present myself fully as committed to his word. I want to be a whole woman because half a woman can't quite gain wisdom in this world. So each day I pray the prayer of complete reliance on God and all his magnificence, for only he is able to bring out in me the wholeness that he created. I'm not whole on my own, but I belong to you. I'm not of myself, but of you and your divine purpose. I am not alone, but with you. I seek your guidance in my daily business. I'm not whole on my own, but pieced together by your hand, held together by your will. I am not led by neither wants, desires, or personal debates, but ever yielding to that which you lay before me. So today, as every day, I listen to your voice, walk in step with you, seek your wisdom, and lay no claim to my own life so that I may be aligned with your way. For I seek to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. God, I want to live what you made me. A whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Amen.
Hi, thank you so much for joining us. I am Sweet Friend Sean, and you are listening to Master Greer Radio Beyond the Word, where we are envisioning the future as I can. I actually like to live in it now. What is happening now with the spoken word? And we are highlighting every second Monday of the month. That was by Rhapsody, Whole Woman. And by the way, I'm sorry. And what we're sharing every second Tuesday right here on Beyond the Word, we are highlighting those who are presenting spoken word in a unique or non-traditional method or way. And we are excited that we have Lois Moses on the line, who is presenting to us from September 30th through October the 9th, say that he had more than a dream. That is going to be here in Philadelphia from September 30th through October the 9th. We are excited because this production not only is, it exemplifies us creating our own narratives, but it also presents it through spoken word, song, dance, music, and various multimedias for this powerful storytelling experience. We are asking, and I'm almost imploring that you get yourself there. Meet me there. I'll be there Sunday at the 3 o'clock show. So you need to see me, get there, let me know what's going on, how you doing. But that's what I'm going to be there. But pick the schedule that best fits your needs. It's affordable. For me, like, okay, everybody's like, oh, it's $25. And by the time I do gas, give up coffee for a week, because I'm going to just give up my Dunkin' Donuts for a week. That's all. And then I'll be able to do it, okay? You can give up something very small to have this experience and to plant a seed in a young person's life. We're asking that you make sure you join us. So with that being said, please allow me once again to introduce to you guys who just joining us, just powerful, energetic spirit that's on the line. Lois Moses, who is an author, poet, actress, lawyer, clinician, and filmmaker. Yes, there are some super people out there that's tapped into their superpowers. She's tapped into her superpowers to be able to say you do all that. Darling, you've tapped into your superpowers. Yes, and we are excited and thankful for that.
I've never heard it said like that. Quite a compliment.
Author, poet, actress, lawyer, clinician, and filmmaker. And I'm sure you do a whole bunch more than that, because most people got 5 or 6. They're doing a whole lot more than they don't even talk about. Okay. That means you have tapped into your superpower, and we give thanks.
That's a great compliment.
Well, you deserve it. You absolutely deserve it. We give thanks that you're bringing this story to us. And so we've had people that are just listening, and you were given such great history about the evolution of Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, you also mentioned, I saw in the press release, I believe, there was some mention about Coretta Scott King. Would you talk to us a little bit about her relevance and importance and what the narrative is in the production about her evolution and journey? And particularly, a lot of people don't realize, I believe, that she was actually harassed for years as well. Like, in addition to
her husband and some of the things that you're sharing through the production about Coretta Scott King?
Well, twofold. One, and we decided that Coretta had to actually become a character in this production. The production has evolved, and there's several things that are important about Coretta for me in this production. One is that many people don't realize how involved she was in the movement, and in fact, she was part of a delegation in the Geneva Convention that was part of a peace movement. So she had taken a stance against not only violence, but also, you know, violence, you know, in the larger sense in terms of world wars before Martin did. And some of the research that I found, that gave him a lot of comfort because early in his, you know, early in his leadership, he didn't feel that he was able to do that until he felt that he could no longer not do it. And then secondly, she really spoke with him about and questioned sort of the patriarchy in the movement in the sense that there weren't a lot of women in the leadership, and yet she was clear that the women were the backbone of the movement. And he agreed with her. There was certainly a certain level of tension between them because she wanted to be out in the movement more in terms of marching and being more on the front lines, and the tension was that he wanted her to be home. Part of it is that he acknowledged that, you know, he had sort of what they call, quote, in quotes, traditional views of women, and they had four children. So, you know, some of it, I'm sure, had something to do with also sort of safety, and because folks don't know, but as early as 1957, I mean, you know, with all the threats and between the bombings and the stabbings and, you know, all that, that there were bodyguards around their house. You know, they had to have people around taking care of them and watching them at all times because of the, you know, the amount of threats and, you know, to their lives, literally. So that was part of it. And then once she, because I contend that she stepped into, and she was more not only capable but able and had been enough a part of it in terms of dialogue with Martin, his support system, as well as the fact, you know, we have to remember she was on the front lines with him in the Montgomery March and so on, and that was before they had kids. So she had been out there for a long time. And if you look back in her history, this is not something new for her. This was something that was part of her childhood. She was primed for this before she met Martin. I don't know to what extent her involvement would have been, but she was primed as an activist before she met him. And so after his assassination, she literally steps into it and takes over the Poor People's March because she understood not only what this was in terms of the foundation for him in terms of moving into really equity for poor people. I mean, it was bigger. It was certainly about African people in terms of the history of not our exclusion, but the racism, the violence. But it was also systemically looking at a country that had abdicated the poor collectively. So she took that on in terms of she actually did the sanitation march and sort of stepped into his shoes. And as a result, you know, the FBI was, I mean, they were hot on her trail beforehand. But you have to remember, this was a, I mean, the FBI, you know, had everyone under surveillance in terms of the movement. But certainly Martin and Coretta were absolutely under surveillance. And after his assassination, for 4 years, they talk about how it ramped up. I mean, they followed her everywhere. And some of the letters, and remember, it wasn't just that they followed them. It was also some of the things that they did to instigate not only dissension between them, but also fear tactics. You know, and we do talk about at one point in the play some of the letters that she received, and you know, I mean, some of it is so graphic and so horrific that, you know, I didn't feel it was necessary to bring some of that in dialogue, but you are going to see some of the letters and the paperwork. But, and, you know, there was at one point when she was at a concert, giving a freedom concert in Mississippi, and the FBI sent a notice to the Ku Klux Klan, well, let's just say the police department and the authorities down there, which were filled with the Ku Klux Klan. We all know that during that time period, like in 63, 64. And they basically said that she's coming, this is her whereabouts, and we are not suggesting any kind of protection or anything be done, period.
Wow.
Yeah, so really what I wanted to show is that, you know, collectively when we join as forces in terms of partnership, that everybody is impacted. And the fact is that based on who he was, who she had to be profound. And she
awesome. I mean, I think that's awesome. And I'm sorry, it's
no,
a delay. I apologize. No,
okay.
I think that's awesome because I think that what I think I've shared this with a couple of young brothers who are getting more involved in the movements right now, is that, you know, you got to have a strong queen on your side. You think Coretta wasn't strong because they don't tell her story? Absolutely. You know, I think Sister Betty Shabazz was a strong woman who sacrificed for the movement as well. Absolutely. So
absolutely,
that role is very important and oftentimes underrepresented, as you mentioned.
Also, Sweet, the other thing is that one thing because they had so much, Betty and Coretta, they had so much dignity. And so because part of what we see now is we see this kind of archetype that's thrown in our face of the angry black sister and, you know, with the, popping in jam, and I'm too old to know the real words. But
right, twerking and all that stuff like that.
Right, whatever that.
Right.
But what,
and especially the mad black woman thing, that narrative is, they're trying to grow with that.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, and, you know, that's, unfortunately, that's, we not only become seduced by that, but then we wear it, but we have to understand that the anger is always, is just a response to something that's hidden underneath it, which is usually pain and wounds. But the question is, I mean, who could, if we look at Betty and Coretta, come on, you're talking about pain and wounds and what they went through. These are examples for us as women to recognize not only the dignity, but how they handled. Because, you know, some things need to stay in-house while you're doing the work outside. And they understood
on
that.
It now.
So, you know what I'm saying? And
right,
that's why I'd be so that, even, because she even talks about, you know, if you think about it, you go back and look at some of the pictures and so on, or look at the video of the funeral. She didn't cry. She held her because she understood that who she had to be, because she understood what her job was and what her role was for the movement, and that was part of it. So she literally sacrificed her, you know, whatever was going on, and in some ways it wasn't really any of our business because she was still doing the work. What she was doing, giving for us, she was giving us, in some ways, same way as artists do, she was giving us the time to cry while she held strong for us, which is an incredible gift. In many ways, and also because sometimes we can't be weak in the larger picture because you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't have the time at that point to break down or fall apart, and it doesn't necessarily need to be seen. That's that's like I said, that's in-house business. Because the work was still going on. The work still needed to be done. It was not over. So
And, you know, as my great-grandmother used to say, we can't afford that.
we simply
can't afford that. It's real simple. We can't afford to do that.
And she had four children. Don't forget, she had four children too. So it didn't stop. You know, she had to deal with the people, the movement, and she had her children. So, you know, and she lived up to, exceeded, as far as I'm concerned, our expectations as a people, in terms of how she handled it and how she, dignified us. So, you know, that's why I think she had to be seen and she had to be heard in this piece.
Yeah. That's, you know, as like I said, it's so powerful. And if you guys cannot hear not only the knowledge but the passion that Sister Lois is talking about and how it's going to come together in this phenomenal production, then I'm concerned about your soul, what you're feeling. Because if you can't feel it, I get all excited and crazed up because I can feel it. So I'm just going to ask that you make sure you come out. But I would be remiss because we didn't talk about I would be remiss if we got off this call without a couple of things. The first thing and foremost, you know, I didn't tell people how they can reach you, support you beyond this production, give us some background, let us know your website, books you've written, because I mentioned all your superpowers. So, you know, just share with us how we can continue to stay in touch and to stay connected with you. And then only if you want to, because I don't like to be put on the spot, but if you want to share some poetry, you're welcome to do so. If you don't, I truly understand. But, you know, if we take these last 10 minutes or so, again, to talk about how we can connect with you, your website, books you've written, some of your background, like I said, talk about any of the superpowers, if not all of them, that you want to share, we would appreciate it.
And you know, that's because I guess for me the work is bigger than anything, but I guess holistically what I can say is that my contract is to restore the divinity of women, particularly African women. And I do that through my poetry. My background is that I started out in communications and theater at Pitt, and then I decided I would go to New York, and I ended up at UCLA and got a master's in fine arts, did some acting, but I couldn't deal with the industry because they weren't, you know, the stories they were telling didn't remind me of anybody that I knew or wanted to be. So I came home.
That's exactly why I do. That's exactly why I do what I do. I create my own productions. I write my own stuff because it's like, does it make sense? Yeah, I get it. I relate to that.
You know,
I'm sorry.
Because it came down to, no, you're fine. It came down to I decided I would tell people who I was because I was tired of, I wasn't that story that I kept seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but I'm a fourth-generation educator. My great-grandparents met at Clark Atlanta University, and my great-grandmother and grandfather ran a school together. And you know what I'm saying? And when you know who you are, nobody can tell you different, number one.
So I
decided to go to law school, but then I realized by the time our people get to law, you know, the law, we broke down, and I was interested in healing, so I decided I would go into clinical psychology, and then I realized that that was basically a construct that did not that was not, it wasn't from an African cultural paradigm. So, and it was not only that, but it was devoid of spirituality. So long story short, then I sort of came back to my art, but always had been, I started doing spoken word actually when I came home from L.A. because I decided, like you said, I had to write my own stories, and I had been writing poetry since I was six. So it became sort of a natural progression when someone said, why don't you use your work and perform? And then filmmaking has been, I've been a photographer since I was like 12 years old and sort of the record keeper doing a lot of film. And photography, and then I decided film primarily because we have to, it's another way, one, for us to document our images and our stories in a way that not only that we can pass down, but I also believe this young generation is because of how they have been raised in terms of the internet, the technology, that they are much more connected to the imagery. So, and that sort of leads me into what the whole side, sort of the construction of the play is, that the construction of the play is sort of bringing all of these mediums together from the historical, as you know, in terms of the actual language, then to the poetry, which is sort of, the poetry for me is sort of the sideline of development through years, really my political art of its voice that has, that has lived in me pretty much my whole life. So this is sort of part of the journey of my evolution, sort of split along with the evolution and connection with this play and finding out who this man was and then what it was that I wanted to say about him, particularly in terms of what he did for me and then what I wanted to offer, what I found about him to the world and that I thought was not only important but relevant. And so I think, trying to think, so, and then the it's in the multimedia piece because adding the multimedia piece because one of the things is that I think that because of the way history is taught, oftentimes we don't see the parallels in, historically because there's this one section where I literally found images from Chicago 1919, the Chicago riots. I call them rebellions, but be for real. You know, for the most part, African people are rebelling. And but of images from Chicago 1919 up to Ferguson, literally of black men being stood over by white police officers. I mean, literally from Chicago 1919. And we know that in slavery, because, you know, if we go back to understanding the history of this violence that's been predicated on Africans, particularly African males, we can see in the Dred Scott decision where no white man was obligated to, you know, to recognize any rights of the black male. And that's from 1857 up to now, and we can even go farther back in terms of enslavement, let's be for real. So looking at using these images, one shows the parallel and shows the fact that how far we haven't come. But then images are really profound because when I look at the Children's March of 63 and so on, one of the things that children have to learn is it's a way of empowering them because the Children's March was the thing that set it off because it received international attention, watching children being water hosed and taken down by dogs on this national stage by Bull Connor and, you know, these are, so that's part of the power of using the images alongside it to create this narrative. And for me, the spoken word is spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Because you're
right.
That's the word that, you know, comes what I call the upper room, you know, where it's just you and God.
Yes.
So
yes.
For me, it's an alignment. And hopefully in the end, it's a spiritual journey that helps one begin to ask some critical questions about not only what's going on, but what are they going to do about it and, you know, how are they going to contribute? That's really what it is, charging you to be, as I say, or as my husband said, it was powerful, charging one in the end to be better and not bitter.
Better and not bitter. You guys heard that right here. Yes. And I feel like I got me a new sister friend. I can talk to her forever. I absolutely do. I'm just sitting here enjoying myself, listening and being inspired by your knowledge and what you're sharing with us. And everybody who have just joined us or who are missing part of this, you can get this full interview later on, you know, it will be replayed. I will post it on all of my social media. You know how to find me, Sweet, SuiteFranchon, or Master Grid Radio. We are just so excited to have Ms. Lois Mosley on the line today, who has shared with us in great detail some phenomenal history and some phenomenal knowledge about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Coretta Scott King. And we are excited and we wish you much success on this fabulous production brought by First World Theater Ensemble. It's going to be September 30th through October the 9th in Philadelphia, PA. For tickets,
can
your immediate contact.
Can I give you my website? Yeah, my website is loismoses.com. That's LOISMOSES.com. So it's my name.
Oh, real easy. Y'all heard it. We've been saying our name all night. So now you got it right. Make sure you go to loismoses.com. Can we find you on any other social media, Twitter, Facebook, anything like that?
Yeah, Lois Moses. It's everywhere, Lois Moses, on my site. Yeah, Facebook and Twitter as well. Yep.
Okay, you heard that. Make sure you follow her.
Sweet, I want to say thank you and Jackie because I'm telling you, this is important because really looking at how spoken word can, I love this concept of taking it beyond just the stage or standing there because it really, spoken word is an alive medium. It's a spirit alive medium and it lends itself to this. So I really appreciate what you two have put together here. Thank you.
Well, Thank you. No, we thank you. We thank you so much for, you know, sharing with us, for continuing to live on purpose and to do your divine work. Like I said, tapped into your soul power. Superpower and not being afraid to do it. I truly get it. I actually produce shows too that infuse poetry in different mediums. More like a concert, though. It's really fun. I'm going to invite you.
Yes, please.
But yes, thank you. So, you know, we're just honored that you have taken the time out of your schedule to share with us this phenomenal production. We wish you much success. We're excited about seeing it. We're excited about supporting it. And I will see you whatever that first Sunday is. I will be there. I think it's like third or fourth. I'll be there. So that's what we're going to do. And yay. So we thank you so much. We thank you so much. We're going to continue to share. And again, on behalf, we're going to close out. We had another guest. We're going to move them to another
week. Still on. He's still on.
No.
He's still on.
Yeah, I know, but we don't have his music. We don't have his music. We shouldn't be talking about this online. But it's okay. It's all good.
No, we can still introduce.
Yeah, we can. We will. Then if you want to, we shall. You're the producer. I'm just the host. You know what I mean? But
well, I just wanted to share real quick before we close out with Lois, just real quick. Lois Moses and Dr. Kamika Williams Witherspoon. These two women was my inspiration, or what ignited the Master Griot project. Master Griot Radio was part of them. Yes. What happened was, you know, I started, I did marketing and always had a love for the arts. And I started with October Gallery selling artwork. One day walking in West Philly, I ran up on Bushfire Theater. They needed a marketing director. I wound up working there. There, I met, that's where I met Zahara and Richard. And, you know, he wasn't the best person. And I just, and he treated another woman so bad. And just things he did, I had to just walk out from that environment. And then a couple years later, Z starts First World Theater and brings us all back together. One of the people on our boards was Maurice, and one of our first fundraisers was a poetry slam. So this is where I met Queen, you, Kamika, all of you guys I met at that time. And then, guys, you know, go all these great poetry things. I started going to the poetry, and then Black Ice came out. And you know, I'm new, so I'm just looking. I'm outside looking in, and I'm new on the scene. But, you know, Lois, she's intriguing now. Wait to her performance and the quality of their production. My CD is so old that it's a little warped, so I asked her to send me some music, but we just had a problem just, you know, getting it all uploaded. But, back then, she and Kamika demanded quality, and their performances, and definitely no disrespect, because Black Ice is great. It's just, you know, he's a baby probably compared to them, and I couldn't understand why the power that I saw, why they weren't, I couldn't understand why they wasn't where he was, why they weren't on these stages. Because they are just so strong, so phenomenal. And I just didn't understand it. So, and they would treat me. Sometimes they would do events. They did, you know, my little events they would do for me. So my give back was let me help with some marketing. And, you know, when I think things out, processes always become large, whatever. But I had to figure out... I wanted to shine a more light on spoken word, and it's because of them. I just thought they
thanks.
Should
give
be
thanks.
Somewhere
Thank
else.
Thank you, Jackie. That's quite a compliment. Thank you, Jackie.
Yeah,
but
we just
because, but we do it for the, we do it, that's part of what this play is about. We do it because of the activism, because we have to. We don't do it to be seen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, and Kamika is I call her my walking hero because she's walking. And but that's what I learned from her, is that the word is paramount, and what the word stands
yeah.
for. So we don't do it to be seen, which is why she's a doctor, I'm a lawyer, and a clinician, because we always knew we had to make our money somewhere else, because we were never going to negotiate our words or our truth. And like Dr. King, when you tell the truth, sometimes it costs you.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
But
I'm okay with that.
But like I guess this is just my mission, because, you know, we're all given a gift, and I feel that all artists are messengers. And I've been put in a real unique place, you know, where I may meet the president, but at the same time, I might have grandchildren over in the project somewhere. And I have to walk up and I have to, you know, I got to watch little kids, you know, grinding to music and doing it, you know, just inappropriate stuff. And I have to say, look, you know, I love some Biggie, but, you know, I can't be called the Bieber so many times. They think my mom funny, ha, 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 ha. But I'm serious, and they turn the music off. And they've heard your CDs, Kamika's CDs, Brothers Keepers. And, you know, they giggle and laugh, but they ask you about it. So
wow.
Your message is beyond just who's in front of you. So for me, it's not an issue of being commercial. It's just so many people. And, you know, through my online work with the Value Tour and all, I have people all the way over in California that would love to meet y'all, hear y'all, and they hear your work. And it speaks to people all over the world. So, you know, we have the technology. Let's leverage it. And luckily, we're at a time we don't have to go mainstream, but we do have to reach the people, because there are people that need that message. And from working at the House of Umoja, oh, the boys love Greg. They're like, who's that? Oh, my God, who's that? And so you can't say that it's not, you know, people try to say it's not popular, they're not going to like, that's not the truth. It's just like you said. They want us to behave in a certain manner, so they want to, you know, give us certain media so that we can behave a certain way. And Robert Townsend said, he who controls images controls everything. And so my message to the people, we have to own our art. And this way we have control of our stories. So it's not the idea of a starving artist is not acceptable. They are the storytellers and keepers of our culture. When we're gone, it's the art that's going to live on. We're not going to live on. It's the art that's going to tell a story. And so it's paramount for us as a people to secure the art.
No, you're right. You're right on the head, Jackie. That's absolutely. Absolutely profound and true. And that's why, because that's why I've appreciated working with you, because your commitment is to not only the word, but the message. And that's, you don't find that often with people who are in marketing. And your commitment is also to empower. And so I thank you. And I thank you for this.
Yes. And thank you so much, both of you. Again, everyone, you can find Lois Moses.
LoisMoses.com.
Yes, LoisMoses.com and on Twitter. And make sure that you stay connected and make sure that you go check it out. September 30th through October the 6th. We're going to give you the information one more time as we close out this interview. And we have one more quick interview where we want to introduce you to a guest that will probably come back at a later date, just to get an idea of what they're doing as well. But make sure you check out the First World Theater Ensemble. The production will be held, again, September 30th, so you got a little time to get your monies together through October the 9th. $25 general admission, 3500 Lancaster Avenue in Philadelphia, PA. It is called Say That He Had More Than a Dream. It's a very unique and powerful presentation about the evolution of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Coretta Scott King. We expect to see you there. So thank you so much for being with us once again, Lois, and I look forward to staying connected.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Thank
I look forward to meeting you in person.
Yes. I'll be sure to say hi. All right, everybody. Just please hold. Stay tuned. We're going to open up our next guest in just a moment. And thanks again. Be sure to check out Master Grid Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And you're going to catch this particular show every second Monday at 9 p.m. I'm Sweet Friend Sean. And we're going to open up the line to our next guest. Hi, next
okay,
on the line, we're going to have, after that phenomenal interview, but we are glad to introduce a songwriter that I've had the pleasure of working with on the line. He has just finished a production of his EP, and we want to take the opportunity to introduce him this show to you and let him tell you a little bit about his project, and hopefully we can have him on again in one of the following month shows with a more extensive interview. One of the reasons he was invited to call in and to talk to us is because, again, as you guys are listening, you know that our producer had the vision to create this show called Beyond the Word. And it's about spoken word poetry and also songwriting, because most of us who are poets and spoken word artists, we also are lyricists, and we also are songwriters, as I am, and composers. And so we are using the art of spoken word in various platforms, and we are excited, and we like to tell you about other people who are doing the same. And I want to introduce to you tonight on the line is Mr. Charles Kelly. He's a songwriter, and we have worked with the band Point Blank, jazz band, and we absolutely love them, and we both had the pleasure of working with them. So I asked him to call in tonight just to tell us a little bit about his project. Charles, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Great.
Hello?
Thank you so much. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yeah, how you doing?
Oh, good. I'm well. Thanks so much for reaching out to me and agreeing to stop in and say hi to us tonight.
Yeah. I was sorry that the song didn't upload. I wish that your audience could have got a chance to listen to it, to kind of get a feel for what we were doing.
What we're going to do is we're going to just talk about it a little bit tonight, technical things happening. I got to find out what format it came, because sometimes it's about the size of, you know, some technical things. But I'll talk to Jacqueline, our producer, and we can always play it at a future date. Especially, you know, sometimes we're looking for opening music and things like that. So tell us a little bit about your project, Charles.
Yeah, it's been a project that I've been working on now, I guess, for maybe a year and a half. I mean, because these kind of things take a while, because it's just booking studio time and then getting the right lyrics together and then getting the band together. And I really do appreciate the Point Blank Band for providing the music for this particular CD. It's a three-song CD, and I'm putting it out as a singer-songwriter. And the gentleman that really helped me develop the song, his name is Roy Johnson. And basically, we're a good team, because he can. I used to play, let me get a little background. I used to play an instrument. I used to play trombone. I played the flute. Currently, I don't play any instrument. I'm just kind of dibbling and dabbling with the keyboard right now. But I have a very creative mind. And what happens is I sometimes I get songs in my dreams. I mean, it's amazing. I hear the lyrics. I hear the background. I hear the rhythm, it's just crazy, you know what I mean? And sometimes I can catch it and wake up and jot down some things, and sometimes I can't.
Right.
But this is where, my inspirations come from. Just hearing, I was listening, it's kind of funny. I have a song not on this particular CD, but I have a song that I wrote, I guess, about a year ago. It's called Birdsong. And uh-huh. what was happening with that song is one morning I was laying in the bed, window was open, and I heard a bird singing outside my window. And just the chirp that this bird was making just kind of inspired me to write a song, and I named it Birdsong. So it's those kind of things that just come to me, and I put the rhythms and rhymes to them, and then that creates the music.
Well, tell us really quickly about this project. How many songs are on it? I know you had submitted one called Peace, I believe. Tell us about that particular song so that when we play that again, when we get an opportunity to play that, we'll have an idea what it's about. And tell us how we can support you. How can we purchase you or listen to you on SoundCloud? Tell us more about that, if you would.
Yeah. The song Peace was inspired by the different controversies that are going on now with, around the world, and particularly in the United States and the urban areas where you have the police brutality, you have the discrimination, you have situations going on where people are trying to get out of their living conditions of struggle. And mm-hmm. peace came about because there needs to be more dialogue about what's really going on in the inner city urban areas. But what happens a lot of time I found is people are so frustrated until it's hard to engage in a good dialogue because they're just so frustrated in the situation that they're in. And, you know, it seems that there's no way out, and it seems that no one is listening. It seems that there are no answers. So a lot of times, so in the song Peace, it kind of, it asks the question, what is wrong with the world today? We need to engage each other in dialogue and conversation so that we'll be able to come to some type of conclusions, come to some agreement so that we can bridge this divide that we're in. So that's what this song was about, to kind of to give some credence to what's going on in terms of trying to elevate ourselves to another level, to elevate ourselves so that we can get to a point where we can communicate and establish this this dialogue to begin to get some peace in our community.
So tell us how we can support you, purchase or hear or how can we find you? Tell us how we can stay connected with you.
Listeners, if they really want to purchase the CD, they can get in touch with me directly at KellySC, my email, 4243@verizon.net.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any digital access to? Do we have any digital access to anything yet, or not yet?
Not yet, because the CD I just picked the CD up. I'm gonna say about four or five days ago. And
awesome.
And I'm in the process now of trying to thread the needle in terms of having it placed online, maybe CD Baby and some other places.
So this is an exclusive, everybody. This is an exclusive. We are the first. We're glad.
Yes.
We're thankful for having us. Yes, we're glad. We're happy about that. So tell us the full name of the CD, if you don't mind.
Well, it's just a compilation of, it's really no name. It's just a CD with three songs on it. One of them is Peace. The second one is I Need You. And the third one is Hypnotized. And like I say, it really doesn't have a name. It's just a CD that I put out. And I'm just using this as a foundation to try and get some feedback, because the songs that were created. I mean, we can write, and really, I can write songs on any type of genre. So
yes, you can. I'm a witness to that, everybody. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if there's someone out there listening that, you know, they need a nice song for whatever occasion, you know, as long as I know what it, you know, what type of song you're looking for, you know, I can write it. So even rappers, I mean, if they need like a song, a background music for their rap lyrics, you know, I can do that. So,
okay.
I'm just trying to, like I say, get it out there. I know my singing days are really not over, but, you know, I'm focusing more so on the writing part of it now.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, we thank you so much for taking the time out to even, you know, consider us, to let everybody know about your work. Again, this is important because if you heard what he said about, he writes songs for any genre. He writes over all types of production beats. That's important, and that is in alignment with what we talk about here, Beyond the Word. It's about being able to get these stories told through the word, spoken word, songwriting, so that we can create our own narratives and tell our stories and present them in unique and different methods. And so we just wish you luck on that. And everybody, make sure we will list his information, or you can reach out to us online if you want more detail about how to get his we're going to call it EP, the EP, so that we can give him feedback. What it sounds like Charles is asking for is he's asking for feedback. He wants to see what you think of the work so far. And we will let you know, Charles, when we're able to get that uploaded and when we'll be playing that and featuring that, and maybe we can have you back on. Is that okay?
That's fine. That'll be fine. And I really do appreciate you having me on so that I can, you know, just I mean, it's just difficult, really, getting your music heard. And the format that you have here is it's a good format, and you know, it's all about promoting the arts, and that's very appreciative of you, and I thank you.
You're so welcome, and you know, that's what we want to encourage everyone out there. You know, we support local or region, which is regional. You know, actually, that's not true. We have independent artists from all over the country and the world sometimes come on the show. Jacqueline is a huge connector to that. So, you know, we want to encourage you, if you know anyone else, that we want to share and support one another. As Jacqueline mentioned in the last interview, you know, we are going to dispel the myth of being a broke artist or starving artist. We're going to dispel that myth by making sure we build a network to support one another, to make sure that we continue to share and show the unique opportunities to share the word. And that's why we call this show Beyond the Word, because it's not, we want to show that songwriters, good songwriters, as well as good poets and good spoken word artists, good presenters of art and theater, we know each other and we can know each other and we can stay connected and we can continue to support and show, most importantly, these expressions and share our narratives in our own unique voices, in our own unique way, and we can go beyond what people think are the traditional methods to do so. So with that being said, we're going to close for the evening. And we thank you so much for listening to Master Grid Radio. This is Sweet Fran Sean, and you're listening to Beyond the Word. You can hear us here every second Monday at 9 p.m. Today we talked about envisioning the vision of spoken word, the spoken word industry beyond what we know currently know it. And we always have great topics. Our producer, Jacqueline Taylor Adams-Taylor, is just, she knows. She just has the gift. Her superpower is connecting us all, creating a platform for us to share this information, and also coming up with great content and subject matters for us. So we want to make sure that we acknowledge her superpower, Jacqueline Taylor Adams, like I said, the founder and producer, and because this is important. This is an important platform. I ask all of you to share so that we can continue to mark our calendars and to participate and to listen and to share. But I promise you it will be a great platform again next month. I promise you that it will be interesting and entertaining. I promise you, most importantly, that you will learn something and that we will continue to support each other. So thank you to our guests this evening. You just listened to, spoke with Mr. Charles Kelly, one of the most phenomenal songwriters I know. Make sure if you want to get in contact with him, Charles, if you're still online, say your email address one more time.
Yes, yes. That email address is Kelly, S as in Sam, C as in Charles, 4243 at Verizon.net.
Great. So you have his email address. You know you can reach me at SweetFranchon, SuiteFranchon, on all social media. You make sure you can find myself and Jacqueline on at Mass and Greer Radio, Jacqueline Taylor Adams. And also for our earlier guests, make sure you support Lois Moses. Her website is LOISMOSES.com. Stay connected, everybody. Until we talk again, I wish you all the peace and love that you can stand and continue to write, create, and share, and tap into your superpower. My name is Sweet Franchon. It's been my pleasure to be your host this evening. Good night, and I'll see you next month.
Good night.
Good night.